Hello and welcome to Exploring Magnuson Park. I'm your host, Benjamin Warren. On this show, I'll be interviewing organizations located in and associated with Magnuson Park to learn more about who they are, what they do, and how you can get involved. Today, I have Seth Muir from Sail Sand Point with us. Seth, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it is definitely great to have you. If you could just kick us off with your role at Sail Sand Point and how you got started there.
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to. I am Sail Sand Point's executive director, and I've been with the organization since the very beginning of 2019. I came from another very similar type of maritime nonprofit. I was close friends with the former executive director, and when she moved on, I was lucky enough to step in.
With Sail Sand Point, I know you have a lot going on there. Could you give us a brief history of the organization and kind of an overview of what you do there?
So Sail Sand Point is a community sailing center. We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And unlike many of the other places where one can sail, our mission is to provide access to people of all ages, backgrounds, and abilities. So we keep our costs low, and we offer programming for anybody from age 4, I think was our youngest, to 80-something, I think was our oldest last year. Folks with disabilities, folks who come with groups, need economic assistance. We really meet anybody where they are who's interested in getting on to Lake Washington, accessible place to learn how to sail and kayak and paddleboard. We were founded in 1998. We were one of the first tenants in Magnuson Park when it became City of Seattle property. And we've been there ever since. We've grown to serve a little over 15,000 people a year with all of our programs, ranging camps, classes, rentals, storage, regattas, racing, group outings, you name it. If you want to get on a small boat, you come to see us.
Well, that is great. So a long history here at Magnuson Park. Sounds like there is kind of something for everyone. Folks of all ages have those programs and activities for them. Before we get into those programs and activities, do you have a favorite place to sail around Washington State or the Pacific Northwest?
It's hard as a sailor to beat the San Juan Islands, especially if you can get up there in the spring or fall, kind of the shoulder seasons on either side of the summer before it gets busy. It's just so beautiful. There's so many places to go. The sailing's good. The shellfish is delicious.
Well, getting back to Sail Sand Point and your programs there, what sort of programs do you have for beginners, folks who are just starting out or just wanting to learn more about sailing?
Yeah, so beginners are probably the largest chunk of our population because Sail Sand Point is such a perfect place for beginners. You know, unlike the Sound where it's salt water, it's colder, there's a lot of boat traffic, we're on a lake. It gets a lot warmer. There's almost no marine traffic except ours. So most of the folks that come to us really are beginners. Many have never been on a boat before. I know both of my little kids started for their first time in little Opti sailboats at Sail Sand Point. So folks start, at all different kind of entry points. If folks come with a youth group, for example, we partner with Seattle Children's Hospital and Outdoors for All. If they come with one of those groups, they'll all be together most likely in some sort of paddling craft as their first experience, a kayak or a paddleboard. Then they'd transition on to kind of day, four-hour-ish programs on catamarans, very stable, very simple to operate, and maybe transitioning on into more complicated dynamic boats as they get more comfortable. Others, like my kids, start in Optis, which are little square one-line to operate boats. You know, they flip them over, they swim, they have a great time. The boats stay afloat, even if they're upside down. And the kids do that on day one just to get comfortable with it. Oftentimes, adults will start with a class. So our adult 101 classes are very popular. Those are in relatively stable 14 to 15 foot dinghies called RS Quests. or groups that come together as a first-time experience, maybe a corporate outing, maybe a birthday party, again, will have a choice, but typically they're choosing the catamarans, which are the easier boats. So we kind of have a different type of boat for every type of group and interest.
Well, that sounds like a lot of opportunities for folks, again, who are interested in learning more about sailing or getting out on the water for the first time. Lots of opportunities there. And I know with beginners and certainly folks who are looking to get out on the water, one of the biggest concerns sometimes can be seasickness. Do you have any advice for folks who are worried about that, worried about getting on the water for the first time and might be concerned about seasickness?
Yeah, sure. You know, seasickness is often more a function of big swell, and there's not a whole heck of a lot of that on the lake. You know, it's a function of how much distance wind has over water and the fetch and the swell that results from it. So being in a relatively small body of water and sort of a smaller cove within that lake, we don't have much of the way of seasickness. I think more people are just nervous about maybe they haven't had any exposure to the water before. Maybe they don't know how to swim. And to people like that, I would say everybody on the water at all times is going to be wearing a life jacket. These personal flotation devices will keep you up. They will keep your head up, even if you, for some awful reason, are unconscious. For folks who are really nervous, you know, we'll start the day with splash camp. We'll just wade into the water in our life jackets and make sure that everybody sees that even in the worst case scenario, they can float. Everything they have floats. We keep our ratios small, so there's always an instructor nearby in the event that somebody ends up going for a swim. And we try to encourage folks to understand that being in the water's fun. It's a lake. It's not that cold. Worst case scenario, you get wet.
Well, safety first, certainly. So it sounds like not just programs and activities for beginners, but really setting the mood, the tone, the environment for folks who are just getting into the water, maybe for the first time, dealing with seasickness, motion sickness, dealing with concerns about actually being in the water, not being able to swim. So lots of safety and precautions around that, setting people at ease, which is great for folks who want to get out there and get connected to Sail Sand Point. With your programs, you said you have some for all ages, and you touched a little bit on youth programs. What ages are you looking at for your youth programs? How are those broken up?
Yeah, so there are really two different communities of youth. We serve primarily kids starting at age 8 all the way up to age 18, you know, when they're considered adults. Within that, there are kind of multiple different tracks that folks can jump on depending upon where they are in their sort of arc of sailing. If they're absolute beginners, they'd start at a camp most likely. And those sailors tend to be, you know, our youngest 8 to 9 year olds. They'll start in an opti with a friend, transition into an opti by themselves, and then move on into maybe a laser or a 420. We also have camps that are less focused on specific skill building and more about having fun in the sun with your friends. And those may use a variety of boats. Again, they may use kayaks, paddleboards, opties to get going, then transition into more sophisticated boats as they go through the week or the weeks. We are affiliated with U.S. Sailing. We use their curriculum. We're a U.S. Sailing certified community sailing center. And they have a really well-articulated progression of sailing through different boats as you gain different skills. So most of the very beginners plug in with opties. Some folks who will join us maybe took some classes or some lessons somewhere else, and we'll work with them to kind of customize where they fit into it. High school kids that come from other programs, maybe just moved here or did a bunch of sailing programs at one of the other places in town, they're welcome to join one of our racing teams. We host Roosevelt and Garfield's teams, as well as teams put together from other kids that show up wanting to be part of a team. And those start in February and end in October and really race all over the area. But those are for kids who really have a bit more experience coming up through either our camp program or another.
You've mentioned you have programs for all ages. You have a lot of programs that are fairly popular, especially with beginners. What about those programs and activities that might be lesser known? Are there any of those that you'd like to highlight?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the program that we're most focused on rebuilding in the wake of the COVID pandemic are the programs for groups. You know, many of our community partners either changed leadership, some completely went out of business, or many had their budgets significantly cut back. So I'm talking about the Boys and Girls Clubs, schools, community organizations like Outdoors for All, again, or Children's Hospital, any of the others that we partner with. We're making a really conscious effort now to reach out and recruit new groups that are interested in coming in. And like I say, those range from community groups that will apply for and receive a full scholarship, so the kids could come and pay absolutely nothing for experiences with us, all the way up to groups that will come from a local corporation or business. Maybe they're looking for a staff outing. Maybe they're looking for a team building experience, and we'll work to customize that with them. But because group activity was completely put on hold for a couple of years and several of the partners that we had stopped participating, we're really focused on rebuilding that program this year. We have a couple of larger boats that will facilitate a full group coming aboard too, if that's more of interest. So it doesn't have to be individuals on paddle boards or small sailboats. And yeah, we work to accommodate whatever groups are interested, but are very excited about bringing that program back to life after a couple of years of reduced capacity.
It's good to hear that you're rebuilding that program, that that's becoming more and more available for these groups. If there are any groups or anyone who's listening associated with a group that might be interested in going on one of those programs, how would they do that? How would they get in touch with Sail Sandpoint to start that process?
Yeah, so all of our information is on our website, which is just www.sailsandpoint.org. Right on the homepage, you can see information about groups. And what the first step would be submitting a group interest form. And we basically take a look at that and figure out what's the best you know, shape of program that we can provide. Typically, we reach out within a week anytime those forms come in. But if for some reason that's not happening quick enough, just call our office. We're still a person-to-person organization, and we want to work to accommodate anybody's needs.
Well, you mentioned that you do classes. Specifically, you mentioned the ones for beginners and adult beginners. With those classes, what do those look like? What sort of classes, aside from actually getting on the water, what do those classes look like?
Yeah, so our adult classes, all of which will go on sale in the beginning of March. The youth camps often sell out really quickly, besides some scholarship spots that we hold back. The adult programs tend to sell a little bit slower. I think adults in Seattle wait to see how the weather's going to be before they commit to a sailing class. But there will be adult classes available all the way from about April through early October. And those are typically two weekends and roughly 4 to 6 hours a day for 2 to 4 sessions, depending upon the class. We do have some shorter one-day classes, which are for some of the more simple boats. Those are specifically designed just to get somebody the skills who maybe already has a little experience, but give them skills on a specific boat so that they can rent those through our rental program. But the other classes, the Adult 101, the Adult 102, the Intro to Racing, Intro to Cruising, stuff like that, does take a few more classes to get the person checked out. But then they're able to rent boats, the same boats that they took the classes through our low-cost rental program, or take those skills onto any experience that they want to have.
You've mentioned a couple times now the scholarships available for folks who are looking to get into some of these programs. If someone's interested in learning more about scholarships, what do those look like and how do they apply for those?
Yeah, so we offer scholarships to any of our programs. We always hold back 2 out of every 10 camp spots for scholarship folks to apply to. But then we also have another roughly $20,000 a year set aside initially in our budget for groups and community organizations that want to come. So often we'll offer those completely at no cost. Overall, across all of our programs, we offer about $50,000 to $60,000 a year in our biggest year. And we're growing back to that level now. Part of my hopes with conversations like this is to encourage people, regardless of their economic situation, to, if they have interest, we're going to get you out on the water. And the methods for applying for scholarship, all of that information is also on our website.
And again, that website is sailsandpoint.org. It's always great to hear that scholarships like these are available. There isn't that barrier to getting into some of these classes, to experiencing the outdoors and getting connected to organizations like Sail Sandpoint because of financial barriers. Scholarships like these are incredibly helpful for the community. So it's great to hear that those are available. And with all of these programs going on around the park, on the lake, what does Sail Sandpoint do in terms of conservation? How are they going about protecting these natural areas that you're having your programs on?
Yeah, I mean, primarily our focus is on education. And so educating people around the methods that they can use to conserve. That's always part of our camps and our adult programs focus on that. I think specifically in our paradigm, when we host regattas and events on the water, you know, they may seem like small things, but for example, not having any water bottles, having compost and recycling out, serving things on compostable plates, if in fact we do use any sort of barbecuing or catering. You know, these efforts are all part of kind of a green regatta philosophy that we have. Just this morning, I was out picking up garbage around the side of the lake, and myself and our community really do realize that we are the stewards of a really important resource. And we keep that waterfront clean 2-3 times a year. We host work parties that pull, you know, garbage bags of garbage out of the parking lot right there on the waterfront that would otherwise end up in the lake. There is also some significant restoration work being done around the North Shore of Magnuson, and we're always conscious not to negatively impact that by allowing any of the people that are coming into our area to trot on it or set up camp in it or anything else that they might want to do.
Conservation and protecting these natural areas is certainly very important, especially to guarantee that they are available for future generations, for those folks who want to continue using them through Sail Sandpoint. So it's always great to hear that organizations are contributing to that conservation and that protection, especially around here at Magnuson Park. For those who are just joining us, this is Exploring Magnuson Park. I'm your host, Benjamin Warren. Today, I have Seth Muir with Sail Sandpoint talking about programs that Sail Sandpoint does around Magnuson Park. And with that, what sort of connection? You've talked about all of these programs. What is that connection to Magnuson Park?
Yeah, again, I think we're an organization that focuses on people. And so our biggest connection to Magnuson Park is connecting with the other organizations, the residents, and the tenants, the management of Magnuson Park. And so we're thrilled that we partner with Outdoors for All, with Mercy Magnuson, with Solid Ground. There's a program called Rock in the Park that brings the kids down to our site. And increasingly, we've become kind of the swimming area and the first point of contact to the lake for many of the folks that live up here. Additionally, with the addition of the Magnuson Pub and Brewery, a lot more people are coming into the North End than historically ever had. And thousands more people a year are discovering that there is beach access, that there is a place where they can fish and swim and, of course, rent boats. They can also volunteer with us, and we trade that for free boating coupons. So even folks who don't want to come down and pay our lower than market rate to rent boats or maybe aren't in the position to do that can volunteer, utilize our paddle craft, our stand-up paddle boards, our small sailboats. We do a whole series of free community events all through the summer, full moon sails. And then, of course, there's a bunch of regattas that are open to people registering. They can get scholarships for those as well. So there's lots of ways that we connect with the people here in Magnuson Park. As far as the greater park goes, we're a lake-focused organization. So it isn't unusual for folks in our community to sail around the corner over to the boat launch area or even farther down to the areas near the swim beach. So we've done work parties over there to clean up that waterfront as well. And of course, Matthews Beach, really nearby, is a popular place for camps and classes to go on one of their expeditions, as well as all the way across to Kirkland. But we think about the geography a little differently because we're primarily on the lake.
You mentioned your volunteer opportunities. What do those look like? What sort of opportunities are there? And for our listeners who are interested in those opportunities, how do they go about getting connected to those?
Yeah, so again, everything kind of starts at our website. There's information on the website about how to register as a volunteer, and that's just so that you can get in our database and we can learn a little bit more through that intake process about what are your interests, what are your skills, how can we get you involved. In April, we'll be having our first of the year work party, and that's significant as far as the number of people who come down. I mean, we'll have up to 100 people show up for a big work party. We'll split into four or five groups, doing everything from cleaning up the park to setting up the boats to preparing for the season. And we do that three times a year. Through that first work party, which I am always at, I will give people an opportunity to kind of self-select into wanting to do other special projects. We have a number of different things going on, from office work to discrete building projects to joining committees to volunteering on our board. And those are opportunities that are really best discussed one-on-one. So I'm always happy to talk to anybody that wants to be a volunteer. And again, I would encourage anybody interested in getting involved, absolutely start on our website, but just as successful is going to be coming down and walking into the office and saying hello. And if you want to get involved, we'll figure out a way.
So lots of volunteer opportunities for folks with sailing experience, folks who do not have that sailing experience, and everything in between. And again, if you're looking at ways to get involved with SailSandPoint through volunteering, go to sailsandpoint.org. For other ways that folks can contribute to SailSandPoint, are there membership opportunities? Are there financial contributions, material contributions? Outside of those volunteer activities, how else do folks contribute to SailSandPoint?
Yeah, thanks for asking, Benjamin. We are a 501c3 nonprofit, so we rise and fall. Our success is directly pegged to the generosity of our community. I think, first of all, the best way for folks to help out would be spread the word. Spread the word about the opportunities that maybe I've spoken about today or that you see on our website. Spread the word to community groups. Think about having a birthday party with us or bringing your corporate group down. If you have time, think about volunteering. If you have resources, we have several different opportunities. Our primary fundraising every year goes towards scholarships. The programs that we deliver with those scholarships do have overhead. Relatively unsexy things like insurance and wages and fuel for the safety boats and repairs, et cetera, all need to be funded. So we raise somewhere between $50,000 and $100,000 a year in our budget, or our budget calls for us raising that much through grants, asks, events, general contributions. And if that's something that folks have the wherewithal to do, it enables us to keep our costs low, to give those scholarships. And then throughout the summer, we often do several discrete different campaigns. Maybe it's for a specific powerboat. A couple of years ago, it was for electric outboards to replace some of our gas outboards. We're constantly needing to invest in the buildings. As you know, Magnuson's Park's buildings, one of the challenges is that they're quite old and constantly in need of repair. So we're actually hoping to expand into some other spaces in the park and are going to be fundraising specifically for those capital improvements. And then there's just always the adjustments that are needing to be made as the city repurposes, changes, makes adjustments to spaces, and we need to respond to that. We know that the park has some changes in store, and we anticipate that we're going to need to spend money adjusting to those changes. So if folks are interested in helping support any of our activities or contributing to our mission, the best way for them to do that is just to contact me. Again, we're a one-to-one organization sometimes, and I'm eager to talk to people and accept any generous gifts of time, talent, or treasure that they have.
Well, as you said, there is always that need for financial or material contributions for nonprofit organizations. So certainly check out sailsandpoint.org. And we have mentioned that website a number of times. For folks who are looking for more information about SailSandPoint, maybe outside of the website, Are there any social media accounts that Sail Sam Point has, or any other ways that folks can check out what Sail Sam Point is doing?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're on all the standard social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram. I don't think we yet have a TikTok, nor am I going to rush in that direction, but I'm sure somebody, one of the younger folks in our community will insist at some point. But for now, we're on Facebook and Instagram. There's some YouTubes connected through our website. And if you're an in-person type of person, come on down and see us in person.
Well, before we wrap up here, is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners about Sail Sam Point and the work that you do?
Gosh, it's a privilege to be involved in this work. I've been around maritime sailing organizations my entire life since growing up on the coast of Maine. And I always wanted a place like Sail Sam Point. I didn't grow up with a lot of money, and I wanted to get out on the water and be involved in sailing. And a place where the boats are accessible, where the people are friendly, where there's a way to get in without a lot of money. Is not always there. Sail Sam Point doesn't sell memberships. We offer annual passes, and you can get a scholarship for one of those. So there's a way if folks are interested in getting into this really wonderful sport. And that's my favorite thing, is that we never turn people away. We have folks in wheelchairs participating. We have little kids going out sailing with their grandmas. We have folks who bring their dog. And that's just lovely. So I think from my perspective, you know, it's just gratitude for the relationship we have with Parks and Rec that allows us to be here in Magnuson Park, for all the other cool stuff that's going on and the great people around. And, you know, if I guess I would leave just by saying that if folks have an interest and want to get involved, it can be daunting. Sailing has a lot of jargon, and there's a lot of expense, and there's a lot of intimidation around getting involved. And Sail Sam Point is a place where everybody's welcome.
That is great to hear. It definitely seems like Sail Sam Point has the programs and activities for anyone, for everyone, for all ages, and working to reduce any barriers for folks to get connected to those activities and programs. So as we wrap up here, I have one final question for you. Is there a song that you associate with Sail Sam Point?
Well, I think this sort of resonates for a lot of levels. Not only is it my horribly embarrassing to my children karaoke song, but I think it also resonates for anybody in nonprofits and anybody running a small business through COVID. So I'd have to say that I Will Survive is probably sort of one of our anthems at Sail Sam Point, and just a fun song to have cranking on the pier.
It is a fun song, and as you said, probably one that resonates with a lot of nonprofit organizations. Well, Seth, thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us, and it was a great opportunity to learn more about Sail Sam Point. So thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned how to get along. And so you're back from outer space. I just walked in to find you here with that sad look upon your face. I should have changed that stupid lock. I should have made you leave your key. If I'd have known for just 1 second you'd be back to bother me. Oh, now go, walk out the door. Just turn around now, 'cause you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to hurt me with goodbye?
Thank you for listening to Exploring Magnuson Park. Today we heard from Seth Muir at Sail Sandpoint, a nonprofit organization dedicated to making sailing and paddling accessible to everyone, regardless of age, income, or ability. To learn more about Sail Sandpoint, visit sailsandpoint.org. Some upcoming events happening in Magnuson Park. The Big Taste will take place on Saturday, March 25th from 5 to 8 p.m. at Hangar 30. This event is only for individuals 21 and older and will feature over 100 wines, beers, ciders, and spirits from the Pacific Northwest. Ticket sales benefit University Sunrise Rotary Foundation, We Heart Seattle, and Outdoors for All. Check out usrotary.org for more information. Also, the Plain Air Views of Washington Festival and Exhibition open call for art deadline is March 31st. Visit space@magnuson.org for more information. And thank you to everyone who contributes to Space 101.1 FM. It's your donations that make this show and all of our programs possible. If you'd like to contribute, want to learn more about the station, or would like to listen online, visit space101fm.org. And tune into Space 101.1 FM on Thursdays at 2 p.m. for more Exploring Magnuson Park. Next week, we'll learn about Broadway-bound Children's Theater, a nonprofit organization that produces exceptional theatrical productions that awaken the very best in children and teens. I'm your host, Benjamin Warren. Have a wonderful day, and go Mariners. Walking.